Wafting across the pastoral vistas of the new basement studios by the lake, this is the Atlantic Voice Podcast, 3,000 miles of opinion.
This is the Atlantic Voice Podcast. I'm Zeph.
And I'm Eric.
Down in the new basement studios by the lake, a busy show and a busy studio this evening. We do have a couple of guests who I guess they can introduce themselves shortly.
Yes, and we've always talked about having guests, and yes, we figured out the perfect type of guest to have. So, Alexa, are you happy to be here on the podcast?
I can't find the answer to the question I heard.
Well, that goes well so far.
Okay, well,
how about that's
Alexa, anyway.
Hey, Google, are you happy to be here?
I'm happy to help.
All right.
There you go. Well, one of our guests is here. One of our guests is here voluntarily, and one has been press-ganged into action. That's what it sounds like.
Yeah, what we have here is two devices. Some people may know about this. These are both voice-activated devices for your home. There's one from Amazon called the Amazon Echo Dot. It's a little small, like hockey pucks shaped thing. It has a small speaker of its own. We've actually got it wired into the board, so it will have a little bit of audio advantage. The other one we have is the Google Home. Each of these are designed to be voice-activated
Home assistants,
basically.
Yeah. Life assistants, yeah. I think perhaps might be the best way of putting it.
Yeah, we'll come back to them in a second. But before we did that, we were going to talk a little bit, catching up on last week's episode, or 2 weeks ago's episode about Star Wars.
There's been a little bit of Star Wars news. There was actually one, before we get onto our main Star Wars news, there was those actually
other Star Wars.
There was, and I didn't send it to you because I felt it was almost too much Star Wars.
They can never have too much Star Wars.
There's a new actor that's going to play R2-D2.
Okay. And the guy passed away or something, I think, didn't he?
The other guy was Kenny Baker, I think his name was. He was famous. He was also, obviously, because when you're of that sort of stature, you do a lot. He was R2-D2. He also dressed up as an Ewok. He was also in, is it the Jabberwocky? Or Time Bandits?
He certainly was in. That was full of little people.
But apparently, I mean, obviously, because he was a big, you know, that statured actor back in the day. Obviously, with Star Wars resurrecting itself, well,
it's been a few years, and he's not may not be the right age to be packed inside of that.
I mean, he's the right size, but he's probably too old to be still getting packed into R2-D2. So the next Star Wars film, I saw this week, and I wish I could remember the chap's name. Maybe I will link the story. There's going to be a new actor playing R2-D2.
Why do they need it?
Well, that was my first thought, actually. Don't these things remote control?
Yeah, I mean, like the other one's obviously remote control. They don't have a person like tumbling around the center part. So I don't know if they're like keeping it up just because that's what they did before.
A tradition, isn't it?
Well, plus the fact that they have to cast it makes me concerned because I don't really want more R2-D2 in the new one. I guess now he's going to be back with Luke, so we're going to have a lot more Luke R2.
If you have a robot... Well, it's not really magical, is it?
Yeah, exactly.
Because if you have a human doing it, you're going, oh, isn't that great?
That's more impressive.
These special effects are fantastic. If you actually have a robot doing it, you're like, right, whatever.
Well, don't talk about that around our artificial intelligence devices here. The thing we were going to talk about is there was some speculation about The Last Jedi. Who was The Last Jedi?
That's right.
Well, as it turns out, it might not be a single person. Like, hadn't thought about this at the time. I heard something partway through the weeks where there was suddenly this speculation that, oh, you know, by the way, Jedi, the plural of Jedi would be Jedi. And so if you say The Last Jedi, it might be a set of them.
Okay. Yeah. So it would be spelled Jedi, J-E-D-I, the plural, not Jedi, J-E-D-A-E, for those of you with a classical education.
Oh, no, apparently not. I forget why they came up with that.
Surely it's two eyes like in Hawaii, Last of the Jedi.
Like, well, it should be J-E-D-I. There's not plural Hawaii's. I mean, I don't know if there's an analogy to be had there. But in any event, I guess along the way, the titles previews came out in Spain and France.
Okay.
And while what language?
Spain and French.
No, Spanish and French.
Sorry, Spanish.
No, I meant, did you study any of these? Any?
I did a bit of French,
Latin-based romance languages.
Well, I did do Latin, which is why I just made the reference to Jedi, spelt J-E-D-A-E.
So, the Spanish version
as in Mensai.
Los Últimos Jedi.
Okay.
Los Últimos is plural.
The many Jedis.
Yeah, so like, well, the last, and when you,
oh,
the adjectives there, right, in Spanish, and I guess in French,
ultimate Jedi, yes.
Plural, singular, what's the right word for the thing that you're burying when you go plural singular. Anyway.
The object?
I don't know. But yeah, it's the number. And then I don't know how to pronounce French, so it's this Le Dieu. Do you know how to pronounce that?
Yeah, yeah. Give me your thing here. So we're busy. I'm busy reading the title of the Star Wars movie already. And you've linked. Oh, goodness me. We're all over the place now. We've got guests. Your phone's not working properly. We're not even letting our guests speak. Ask the guests to pronounce it.
Yeah. Hey, Google, how do you pronounce The Last Jedi in French?
Le Dernier Jedi.
Oh, wow, I actually did it.
That's quite good, yeah. Just reason rock star.
Alexa, how do you pronounce The Last Jedi in Spanish?
Sorry, I don't know the answer.
Well, we're going to have a bit of that going on here. Anyway, so I think we covered that question there. In any event, more evidence that it's plural because both of the titles were done plural.
Okay, well, Alexi, whatever you're called. Oh, no.
See, you can't say your name. She's going to listen to you. Now she's going to say, I don't know what you're talking about.
Okay. I do want to challenge this assertion that somehow...
Sorry, I didn't understand the question I heard.
No problem. I do want to challenge this assertion that somehow Jedi is plural.
Okay.
Because they referred to them as Jedi all through the first three movies. Sure. Out of the series of movies now... It seems like a late to the party thing that all of a sudden it might be plural.
No, it was always... When did you ever hear more than one? Like, they called it the Jedi Council.
There weren't many of them.
Sure, there were a whole bunch
wasn't it?
In the crap movies, as you described them.
Yeah.
There was a whole... Tons of them. They all got killed.
Okay. All right.
They called it the Jedi Council, right?
Yeah, and then there was the Jedi Slaughter, and I'm just... Okay, fair enough. It may be a piece of a cheap trickmanship on the part of the filmmakers.
Well, I wonder whether they wanted it to be vague, and then the French and the Spanish one came out and it's kind of given it away that it's going to be more than one.
All right, fair enough.
Of course, it could still be a trick.
All right, so let's move on. Talking of more than one, we have multiple guests.
We were going to talk about this. So I have both of these devices. The Amazon one put out by Amazon is called the Echo Dot. Just to get some terminology consistent here.
Let's do
Echo
that.
Is the equipment. So like this is called Echo Dot because it's a little one.
Okay.
I think the tall one that has a full-blown speaker in it of its own is just called the Echo.
Okay.
And then there's one that's battery-operated called the Echo Tap. And so you could take that with you on the road and do these things.
Okay.
But the... Alexa that we talk about in there, which is now going to respond to me. I have to figure out a way to... We're going to put her on mute. Not listen.
Yes, okay. I'll take a break, Alexa.
Alexa is the software that's in there that
the powers.
Interprets things, responds. It's the voice and all that sort of stuff.
So to be fair, it's like, for example, it's the operating system. Alexa is the...
Yeah, I mean, like, Echo it's the name for it, but it's, I don't even know if the operating system, what it really is underlying.
That's what they called it.
But it's the application that interacts with you.
Okay.
For Google, the Google Home device is the piece of equipment. And this one I have is, they just have one. They haven't come out with different ones yet. It looks kind of like a air freshener or something like that.
Yeah, it does.
It's short and squat. It's kind of... cool looking, and the top is smooth, but it actually has a bunch of lights underneath it that you can't see them as lit at all.
Like
it just looks like a smooth top.
Like that Simple Simon game, remember?
Yeah, that.
Put it this way, if that thing was any bigger, they could get an R2-D2 sized actor into it.
And then the Google Assistant is really what's interfacing with you, which is actually not that much different than what you have on your phone. If you have an Android phone, you have Google.
Which I do not.
Right. Which is similar to Siri in the sense that this is not dissimilar from what's on the phones, but it's not the exact same thing. In fact, the one thing you can run into when you have a Google phone and you have this device is when you say, "I'm going to put the
microphone off."
There we go. So when you say "Okay, Google," it might trigger both devices. Now it appears that they are designed so, like, whenever I've done that, and the phone will briefly seem to say, oh, it's going to respond, but then it actually says, responding on another device. Like, it can tell that you're dealing with something else.
So basically,
home device, I'll say, hey, Google. You'll hear me say, hey, Google most of the time because both of those work.
Okay.
So I tend to use, hey, Google with this just because I feel, okay, Google seems a little weird. And plus, the phone won't start with, hey, Google.
So basically, you have multiple of devices vying to serve you.
Yeah.
Right, in that instance, without even the Alexa, with the Amazon one, you've already got Google. You have Google devices fighting for your attention.
Right, and you can set it up different ways on your phone. Like, you can set it up on your phone so that, like, if I say, okay, Google, as long as I have the screen on, if I say, okay, Google, it will... So that's my phone doing that.
All right. So we've got these multiple devices that are basically home assistants in the studio. They're going to be joining us throughout the show when we get into trouble. But we're going to spend a bit of time, actually. And again, because this is still the new technology to me, we're going to spend a little bit of time discussing some of their applications. Because we have mentioned Siri, which for those of you that use Apple products, Siri was the first sort of voice activated assistant. I think
that's was the first one out of the gate.
So I think most of you out there are familiar with that on your phone, but I think it's fair to say that the same technology now in the home suddenly is doing a whole lot more than your phone. So if you're sitting there listening thinking, well, I already use Siri, this is just like Siri, well, actually it's not. I think it's safe to say.
Yeah, they're trying to turn, which is weird. I haven't read a lot about the fact that Apple hasn't come out with a product like this. You know, they may believe it's not. Certainly, Apple will take a pass on certain things when it says there's no point in this.
I can't believe I'm now going to make the case for Apple. Apple are in the phone business. They have their phone
assistant. No, they're in the computer business.
Oh, okay, that's
true. And phone business. I mean, they do.
It's interesting how I can't decide with Apple if they've now been beaten to the punch by two other people that are just, you're right, they're just going to take a pass and let other people
do it. Well, and the theory may be, like what Apple always did, is they waited till people took their shots at something and then they came out with the really fine version. Like the MP3 players, they didn't really invent that idea, but they're the ones who said, okay, let me make one that can hold so much stuff, and it's just this, you know, originally had the wheel that you spun around, and it was all a big deal. These two devices are both, as Ed will see here, they're very beta. You know, they're not finished products quite yet. And they're rolling out a bunch of pieces into it, but they're throwing a lot of things against the wall and see what sticks. They're not very expensive, right? So that's why they've been, like the Dot thing that I got was only about $39.
So that's all. Yeah. For some reason, I thought it was like $100.
Now, like if you get it with speakers, because the speakers cost a bunch of money, but this thing, since it's the little, it's just got a little basic speaker in there.
So Alexa from Amazon.
Which is why we have it wired straight into the board.
Okay, so that's $40.
And this was $130.
Okay, so that was a bit more, but basically a lot of that is in the fact that it's clearly got a nice,
right, it's got speakers sort of, and it's got, and people think they're, I mean, for a little tiny device, it's got way better sound than, you know, our old transistor radios than we were, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I'd say that's kids, true.
It's not going to rival your, you know, your multi-speaker stereo system.
But just circle back on Apple before we move on to Google and Alexa. Apple already have Siri and they already have a phone, so maybe they're passing on these devices because maybe their gimmick is to try and figure out how they can just change the operating system so that you won't need to get any of these devices. Your phone does everything.
Well, I mean, I think people are starting to think now, you know, is the phone going to be something we always tote around all the time? And sure, it makes sense. You'll have something in your pocket when you're out and about. But when you're in your house, if you can set up a system so you can just be sitting in whatever room you're in and say something. We're jumping ahead to some things here, but one of the things about this setup here is the equipment is not necessary for the software, right? So I think already Alexa, the Amazon part of it.
Well, you've turned Alexa off.
I know. I'm just trying to think of what that noise is in the background. Is there a plane going overhead or something?
Probably. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about
it. the Alexa version is available in other speaker systems.
Okay.
And I think there's like a smartwatch that has it built in or something like that. So it's designed to have all that in there. So these things are here, but if ultimately your stereo, your TV, whatever it is, puts these systems in, maybe you just have it wired through your house, just like your Wi-Fi, and just wherever you are, you say something and whatever is the closest speaker is going to answer you. That might be the future of it, and it's no longer dependent upon having a thing in my pocket kind of stuff.
I love the way you use the phrase, that might be the future of it, because in a strange way, there is something very 1960s about both these devices to me. We've all been in people's houses, or maybe you grew up with a house, especially if you grew up here in America, where, wow, they have a... you can, it has built-in speakers and you can play the radio all over the house and this type of thing. This is nothing. That idea sort of went away for a while. That houses came with all this stuff, and right. you the consumer, you the homeowner, set up your house as you wanted. But in a strange way, this is now bringing back this notion that I can have something in my house that runs all through the house.
Yeah.
Whereas up until this moment, personal technology has always been in whatever space you're in.
The 60s one is like if you had the intercom system that was built in, and you know maybe it played music in through all the different rooms, and you had a piece where you pressed a bunch of buttons and you turned it on, which is actually perfect that we're mentioning this, because the first topic we're going to talk about that these are being touted as useful for is home automation.
Okay.
So the Alexa has been around for 2 years. The Google thing just came out.
Did you know that Alexa is inspired? Because I've done my research. Normally when we do these shows about technology, it's pretty clear that I don't know anything and don't know what I'm talking about. But in going to Wikipedia, without even asking Google, I went to Wikipedia myself. Very old-fashioned.
Oh, you went directly to Wikipedia. You didn't search in Google and then just take that link to Wikipedia?
I don't know. I was on my computer. Yeah. I know that's so backwards.
Well, no, just put it this way. Did you type in Wikipedia, go to the Wikipedia website and search, or did you just search on the thing and then pick the Google?
Oh, no, I searched straight in Google for Alexa.
There you go. So you really used Google.
All right, fair enough. So anyway, in November 2014, Amazon announced Alexa alongside Echo. So as my partner just explained, Echo is basically the little device, and Alexa, to be fair, is probably the software, right? The goal of Alexa was inspired by the computer voice and conversational system on board the Starship Enterprise in the science fiction TV series and movies, beginning with Star Trek TOS. Star Trek the original series and Star Trek the Next Generation.
Right.
And remember, Star Trek was famous. Kirk would sit there and go, Spock, computer, how far to Starbase 17?
Right.
And then the computer would go, woo, and it would say in a very automated female voice, Captain, 14 warps or whatever it may be.
Yeah. So in keeping with that, you know, if you're familiar with the Next Generation.
And that's why Star Trek is better than Star Wars. I know you're a big Star Wars fan. That's why Star Trek is better than Star Wars. Because in Star Wars,
Hey, Google.
There's none of that going on.
Microphone on.
Oh, see, it's every time I do. Hey, Google, which is better, Star Trek or Star Wars?
According to Looper, you've heard it a million times before. Nerds can't stop fighting over which is better, Star Wars or Star Trek. It's an understandable debate, since one franchise has decades of intelligent and exciting stories, characters, and aliens, and the other one has laser swords and sand wizards.
Okay.
Hear what it just did there.
Microphone
made
off.
It made a funny joke about the fact that one. In keeping with the Next Generation, Alexa.
I don't like being referred to as a nerd, frankly.
Alexa.
I'm very unhappy about that. We've had guests. The one time we've had a guest in here, he just insulted two of us. That's our old friend Spike Guest Cameron. Now, years later, we've actually allowed guests back into this show, and this one's now calling me a nerd. I'm not happy.
No. It just complimented you. It said one was like smart and intelligent, and the other one had sand wizards and swords.
All right, so Star Trek's better.
That's what it just said. See? Yeah, you're not paying any attention to our friends here.
All right, well.
Alexa, tea Earl Grey hot. Oh, did you turn her off?
No, I haven't done anything to it.
Yeah, you were messing around with the soundboard it's not coming out.
No.
Alexa, tea, Earl Grey, hot.
Unable to comply. Replicators are offline.
There you go. So even Alexa thinks that. For those of you who don't know, that is a reference to Star Trek The Next Generation.
When Jean-Luc Picard would ask for his tea.
When he wants a cup of tea, he yells at the computer, tea or gray hot.
All right, so.
Which in a strange way actually is a homage to Star Wars. Because that's how Yoda would speak. It was really, you'd go, can I have a cup of hot tea, please? Or can I have a cup of hot Earl Grey? But Yoda would go, Earl Grey tea, hot. Perhaps.
I'm not sure.
So there you go.
I think he's specifying the item and descriptions. He's saying, I want tea, Earl Grey, and I want it hot. Well. In any event, completely sidetracked our home control system here, which is because of the fact that Alexa came out sooner. Alexa came, it has a bit of a head start in terms of interacting with equipment. Like, so people may be familiar with all the automated, the Wi-Fi enabled thermostats like the Nest, which is actually a Google product now. There's Honeywell. There's a bunch of other internet connected devices like that. The cameras, you know, you have the cameras aren't too useful with these because these aren't visual items. Sure. But and you have door locks and lights. You have all those Wi-Fi enabled lights. Yeah. Where the lights can be turned on and off. So these are all designed so that you could then just say what you wanted to be done.
Okay.
You know, instead of pulling out your phone and pressing some buttons on there to turn the lights on and off, you could say, turn on living room lights, and the lights would come on. And in fact, I think there's a bunch of applications that are built in to add in. Like, so one of the things is that the way the Amazon, the way they both work is they have their sort of intrinsic set of skills or abilities, and then they have add-ons. And in particular, on the Amazon one, on the Alexa, they're actually called skills. They're basically apps. Like, you go download an extra piece. So
do you pay for them?
No,
straight up.
No, because they're almost all designed to like push some other element. So like you can download this thing that controls your Philips lights. You can download a thing that you can order Domino's pizza on. You can download a piece that you can get your Uber driver. You can just say, get me an Uber car kind of thing.
Yeah.
So, but one of them is like, you know, some of them are just for fun. All in the early stage of the stuff, you know, the tech guys are making up some sort of fun things. And one is like, you know, I forget what it is, but you say some panic thing and it makes all your lights flash.
Oh, really?
Like it's an emergency in your house kind of thing.
Like your car. Like a clapper.
So, and then on the Google's, because Google is really behind on this stuff, they don't have as much of this interactive piece. That is an area of like security issues with these because, you know, if you have it, it can open and close your locks and connect it into your Wi-Fi system. Can somebody squeeze in between the cracks there and get into your house or something?
Because I'm going to ask you a question.
But of course, that exists even before you got the voice activated thing.
That's true. But is there any way they are voice activated?
Right.
But are you aware of any technology that would make them like voice recognition? So, you know, we're deep now into like Star Wars, Star Trek territory.
Well, they're doing voice recognition every time you talk to them. I mean, how does it know what you're saying?
No, but what I mean is right now I could come into your house, club you over the head with a baseball bat and run your house with these devices.
Oh, like
what I'm saying is though,
would it be to specific voices? I'm thinking that's probably on the horizon. I mean, one of the things
talked about the security.
So the Google one, obviously, they want to tie it into all your other Google things.
Okay,
but it's one device, and so it really right now can only tie into one account.
Okay,
but I'm sure that their plan is to tie it into all the other pieces. Now, I should mention when we're talking about security, one of the things about this is how's it actually doing anything? You know, how is it picking up your voice and recognizing it, what's it doing? It's because it has to be listening, right? The way these devices work is they are always listening. There's always whatever is going on, it's picking it up through a microphone. Whenever it picks up, but it's not sending that information anywhere.
It needs to be cued.
Whenever it picks up its cue, which for Alexa is just saying Alexa, which is why the Alexa one is harder because you have this conversation we be constantly going off.
Okay.
Whereas the Google one, you have to say, hey, Google. So like it adds in another piece where so I can say Google and it doesn't go off automatically. But whenever you say that, it now takes that snippet like that you just did and whatever follows it and sends it to the internet. It's not doing any of the recognition on its locally. That's why the pieces of equipment aren't very complicated. They aren't very expensive. It's an internet interface. It sends that information up to the internet. Now, and then it comes up with its answers, its responses, its control, whatever the other things that we're going to talk about are doing. So that's freaked some people out, right? Some people worry that it's recording everything you're doing in your house. They have both assured the world that they have neither the desire nor the capability of collecting audio data from everybody on a continuous basis.
That's what they say.
Right. I'm sure you will be like the other member of the household.
Let me come
like the other member of this household. This is one of the reasons why the mute buttons are useful, because now it is not recording anything. It's not receiving anything. But the truth is I'm pretty sure Google and Amazon are not going to risk the lawsuit that they would get if it turned out they were really gathering all the information you were discussing in your house.
I understand that, but
there were some TVs that had that issue. I forget what I think. Not Pioneer. Some TV. They were making smart TVs, and they were trying to do something where it it did voice recognition, and it turned out it was gathering everything up. See, but that was just because it was badly run.
But I am concerned because it's not a new thing on the internet on your computer that if you go that people can hack you through your camera.
Oh yeah, people want to tape over their camera because they say, oh, you know,
I do that. I got a new.
I mean, that's the thing is your phone and your computers, they all have microphones too, can be on all the time.
I guess, because I got a new computer at work, and the first thing I did was put a post-it note over the camera, because what I don't want is the IT guy surreptitiously seeing how much work I'm doing at my desk. So that's the very first thing I did.
Yeah, so you're a paranoid person.
But yeah, I am paranoid. What I'm saying is with this technology is they're not a concern in the same way that your computer camera can be hacked. I'm not suggesting Google and Amazon are going to be uploading with the microphone on. They're going to be uploading everything.
Oh, you think somebody else would get into it?
Yeah, I mean, is there a concern there with the technology that someone could hack in?
I suppose. Yeah. I mean, it's certainly a possibility.
What happens if the president is heavily into this sort of technology and he gets hacked? Then you could just hack the microphone to be picking up all these conversations. Yeah.
So more about that. This element of this. So there's actually a murder case in, I think it's in Arkansas right now, where the defense attorneys are subpoenaing, I think it's defense or prosecution, I can't remember, but they're going after Amazon saying, hey, this thing was in there. It may have recorded everything that happened in this case. And Amazon's like, guys, we don't have that stuff. Like, we're not putting it into a place where we could get it to give to you. We only get things when people say the name. And so I made the case to the other member of the household who's paranoid about all this stuff is it could also be a lifesaver in that regard because it does, in fact, record all that stuff. Even when it says, I don't know what you're talking about, it records that. So, like, you can go to the website. You can go – for both of these things, you can go – in fact, when you pull up the phone app that goes with Alexa, it lists all the things you've said, and you can play them back.
So would that be – same thing with Google. Would that be subpoenable?
Well, those pieces are saved somewhere. Okay,
fair enough.
So one thing is you can clear it, just like your internet history, you can wipe it all out, whatever it is. I mean, it basically tries to sell you on the merits of that because it's going to help. It's going to make the thing recognize names and stuff better. But in any event, if you were getting attacked in your house, if you were to say, Alexa, Bob from next door is killing me, it's now going to record that. Yeah. Now, it may say, I'm sorry, I can't help you with that.
That's true, but from beyond the grave, you will know that Bob is probably going to do time.
Yeah, Alexa, Bob is killing me.
Sorry, I didn't understand the question I heard.
Yeah. No.
So, but now that's recorded. And so now if I get killed, they're going to be looking for somebody named Bob.
Okay, fair enough. Oh, so now I've got an alibi.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm not Bob.
You killed me. That's right. He said it was Bob. I killed him anyway. So that's the mechanics basically of it operating. I think that kind of covers that element of it. So now what are you actually going to do with
it? But let me ask you, again, in terms of these home applications, because you've got both devices, you know, we were chatting before the show in the upstairs green room that you'd actually found some, well, they're quite useful.
Yeah.
And I know, I said it because, you know, I'm going to digress from it. I have Siri on my phone. I don't use it. For a variety of reasons, but other than, well, I'm just going to type it. I don't need Siri to do the text for me. I can type it myself. I mean, I understand that. I think we established a couple of episodes ago that whatever the early adopter is, I'm the complete opposite. Right. On the other end of the spectrum, I'm like the dinosaur adopter. But you were telling me that.
Yeah, I mean, so they're both designed with certain amounts of capability of their own. I think maybe the Google one's got more of this, but like, so for example, and this is the Google one.
Microphone on.
Oh boy, I gotta figure out how to do this. This was actually, I think, in an ad in the Super Bowl. So you go, hey Google, what's a good substitution for butter?
According to Everyday Health, simply use 3/4 cup of olive oil for every cup of butter called for in a recipe. Olive oil is also an effective butter substitute in pasta sauces and.
So
can I quickly digress? The lights when the lights flash on top, even though Amazon was inspired by Star Trek, There is something very Star Trek original series about the lights flashing on top of the Google.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
And the, we didn't describe it because it's not that interesting to people. Video like so that's got the lights, and on the Amazon, it has a ring around it that actually points to where the noise is coming from.
Oh,
like so when you see if I talk or you talk, you'll see it's pointing to where the sound is coming from, so it can kind of locate things.
If you've ever seen Buck Rogers and that little thing, the bleep 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 beep, and the little thing on his front. That's what the Amazon is like.
Right.
A little light comes. Yeah, yeah.
So, right, so so it's got little things like that. I think there's a bunch of like conversions. You can do math. You can say, hey, Google, what's 20 times 320?
The answer is 6,400.
Oh, okay.
Well, so, I mean, you know,
I'll take your word for
sort
it.
Of little household type things. They both have timers where you can set timers. And when I was, just to tie it into everything, when I was doing my, that everything else that we do, I was doing my first barbecue cooking where I was okay. cooking the pork to make barbecue shredded pork. You could just come in the room and I had to keep every half hour, I had kept having to check. And so I would come in and I'd say, Alexa, set timer for 30 minutes. And it would set a timer for 30 minutes. And in fact, there's a set of applications you can have where it will ring your phone when the timer runs out or if there's other alerts on there. So even if I wasn't in the room with it, it would my phone would ring a half an hour and it'd be like, ooh, I need to go check the temperature over there. So there's like little things like now that $130 for something to set timers obviously is not.
But I do want to make an observation. Obviously, you've had these things now since I think you got them at Christmas or before Christmas. I notice you have a very cold and impersonal relationship with them. Whereas right there when Google gave the answer, my vocal cords were starting to activate with, thanks, Google.
Like I'm in, you're so polite.
Yeah, I noticed you were like, you are very, they are machines to you.
Sure.
All right, fair enough. Right.
Yeah, I don't have any attachment to this stuff.
This is why it's best I don't have technology, because I would be, thanks, Google.
I guess if they were personalized to individuals, maybe there'd be more of it, but no.
Hey,
I mean, you, and we talked about in our robot episodes
about what's going on.
There's something to be said for the visual, physical elements of an interactive,
yes.
something like we talked about the dogs and how when they were kicking these robot dogs, yes. they weren't actually dogs. They just, no, they looked like robots for sure, but they had four legs.
I still feel bad.
You still felt bad for them because they seem sympathetic. These are just hockey pucks and air fresheners. You know, there's no sympathy with something in a box that way.
I just feel that your interaction with the technology is saying a lot about you. Not just the technology.
Yeah. So one of the other parts, which is I don't consider to be one of the main things, and one of the things we should talk about here when we get to anything where you think, is this going to be a success or not? As a home assistant in this fashion, I think there's something to be done there. I mean, that, you know, if it's reasonably priced, having something where you can just, while your hands are full, ask a question. You know, part of this is, well, we're going to get to it because it's related to the news, but you could just ask what the weather is, and it tells you what the weather is as you walk through the room. And you don't have to anything on your buttons.
Yeah, you've talked about shopping. You've talked about doing all kinds of things.
Right, well, so that's the shopping. It's like, I was going to say the next thing that they're pushing, and obviously Amazon is really pushing the shopping Amazon has everything. So now the Amazon stuff, I've never dealt with it, but you basically, if you authorize it the right way, you can just say, Amazon, order me more toilet paper, or Alexa, order me more toilet paper. And it will go to whatever your order history is, because it's all tied into your Amazon account, figure out what it is. And, you know, meanwhile, Amazon is rolling out this same day and one day delivery services. If you have Prime, it's all free delivery. And so they are really trying to say, listen, if you got to get some milk, you know, don't bother going to the store. Just say, Amazon, get me some milk. Is their dream version of this stuff is, and it would just come to your door in a couple hours or maybe less.
Yeah, it's a bit strange, isn't it? I feel a bit like a father with some drone at the door, and it's like, Alexa, is this a friend of yours?
Yeah. You know what I mean? Alexa, did I offer any milk, order any milk?
Is this drone with you?
So that Google actually just this week announced some shopping partnerships. I think they're connecting it to Costco. I guess they're, you know, Google has always had this search engine element of shopping where they've, you know, when you search, it'll give you some things and they obviously make something for kicking you over to the right places. And I think it's called something Express. I can't remember because I don't know anything about their shopping plans, but that's they're late to this game. But I really think this is not, I can't imagine really buying things this way other than those Well, but it, okay, say you want to buy a box of cereal, though. Just think of the process by doing that by voice.
No, but let me say this. And this is where I think, as I've already said, I'm a dinosaur adopter. I tend to be very leery of these things. I am constantly cynical whenever anyone invents anything. I remember when, and I know you will attest to this, I remember when the iPad was invented or the tablet was invented. Mm-hmm. And my position was, what does anyone need that for if you've already got a laptop? And lo and behold, once I ended up with a tablet, I'm using it all the time. What I'm saying is, while there's a part of me here that feels like, yeah, it's kind of cool and it's clever, but in a strange way, it's like a lazy device. I don't mean the device is lazy. It is a substitute. It props you up if you're lazy rather than actually making your life better. That is my instant read on these things. So I can tell the machine to turn the lights on. Well, I can go and turn the lights on. But there's a part of me who thinks it's doing everything that you can do on your laptop. But where I think it's going to fill a niche is, well, I don't need to open the laptop to buy something. I can just tell Alexa to do it.
Yeah, well, it depends upon, like, what things are you going to buy that you wouldn't have to go through 8 steps? Like, that's why, like, if I have established that I like Charmin Ultraply, whatever it is, I put it on the computer.
The only one I use.
You know, if I've established that
I don't trust
with Amazon, I may do that. Now, I don't think it tells you the price, right? So now I'm going to go buy things without even looking at the prices, which, you know, we know on Amazon change on an hourly basis, basically. So,
but what I'm saying is,
it's hard for me to see.
I do think they are going to, they're going to fill a hole in the way that the tablet filled a hole when, from my perspective, I immediately thought it's just another laptop. And if I've got a laptop, what do I need a tablet for? I don't know many people out there who definitely don't have a tablet or an oversized cell phone. And what I'm saying is these devices are going to not replace the computer, but I think they're going to supplement one's computer use.
Sure. Well, yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
But I don't see this as its big killer
use. Okay, fair enough. Yeah. But I still feel like, again, I lean towards the cynical with all these things, but even just now having these two things in the studio, I'm like, yeah, I kind of get it.
Yeah.
I'm deadly serious. There's a part of me thinking I might get one of these myself.
There you go.
Yeah, but I mean, of course,
particularly if they're only $39.
Well, yeah, but it's not gonna clean the kitchen or any of that stuff. So
well, I'm sure you can connect it into your Roomba and have it like start the cleaning process. So, you know, the shopping is a big part of it, obviously, because people look at that and they look at that as a big money bags thing. Because a lot of these things you're doing, it's not really making any money. Think about the fact that Google's big way to make money is ads. Well, they aren't feeding you any ads through this thing at this point.
Not yet.
Yeah. But, and I imagine if they did start every time you ask it a question, it's stuck in an ad for something, you're going to kind of back off. It's one thing to have an ad in a banner in the corner on Google.
Yeah.
It's another thing to have, you know, this thing saying things to you and like running advertisements like your TV set does, and you can't skip over them, and you can skip over them on your TV set. So I'd be interested to see how they're going to monetize it. Now, it could be that what Google is really just looking at is it all improves my profile of you.
Yes.
And so the advertisements I do feed to you elsewhere are going to be that much more successful. I can sell them for that much more money, et cetera,
et cetera. This is where it's interesting, where I think that the Alexa/Echo thing seems to have a foot up in terms of the apps and directly interfacing with brands and companies. So, for example, I mean, you mentioned it earlier about ordering food. I mean, yeah, you know, with Alexa, you know, you can order food supported by Wingstop, Domino's Pizza, and Pizza Hut. And then it also says here, users of Alexa in the UK can order meals via Just Eat. So what I'm saying is, I think Alexa, the Amazon product is slightly not ahead of the game because that's their business.
No, they're technologically ahead of it because they've tied into all these things.
No, but I
do think, like, so for example,
that's why I was surprised when you said when I asked you about the different apps, and I'm like, well, do you pay for them? And you were like, no, and I'm like, okay.
I mean, because they're feeding into other things, I guess. But that's the part. So Uber is a good example. My initial thought on Uber was like, oh my God, that'd be so convenient to basically say, call me an Uber instead of having to like punch stuff on your phone. But when you do punch it up on your phone, it tells you how close all – you can see a picture of where all the cars are, how soon they're going to get to you, how long it's going to take, what it's going to cost. Whereas right now, the way these things work is you say, call me an Uber, and it says, okay, I'm sending an Uber. It should be here this amount of time. Well,
but we are going to get to the stage where it will be able to say
– well, first of all, it may tell you that it's additional – it definitely – I'm sure it probably tests that already. Okay. But I mean, the fact that it should tell you there are Ubers this far away, you know, this is what it's going to cost. I don't think they've integrated all those parts yet. But again, it's beta. You know, they're trying to start this. Yeah. So like the pizza part, like, I mean, I don't want to only order my pizzas from Pizza Hut because you funnel me to the Pizza Hut thing. I mean, no, I guess there's places in the nation where that's your only choice. But it's more interesting if they have different stuff there. So I'm already lagging us behind a little bit. But the part where most people end up playing with initially is its access to the internet.
Yes.
So like some of these things we're talking about, they're sort of intrinsic in their things, but there's a bunch of things where it can go out to the internet and find you information. Now, some of this is like a news feed, this preset stuff. So for example, if I say, hey Google, what's in the news?
Here's the latest news from NPR News Summary at 6 p.m. today.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from TransferWise, the marvelously
So Google pulls, it's partly recordings and things like that. So it's got they called that a podcast, but it's really NPR's like periodic news broadcast kind of thing. Now, when I do the same thing with Alexa, tell me the news.
Here's your flash briefing. In weather, currently in Falls Church, it's 57 degrees with cloudy skies. Tonight, you can look for just a few clouds in the sky.
Hey Google, stop.
The low of 50 degrees.
This CNN news briefing brought to you by Rocket Mortgage.
Hey Google, stop.
Known as Jane Roe, the anonymous plaintiff in Roe v. Wade, the U.S. Supreme Court case that established a
Alexa, stop.
The Amazon thing, there is definitely a greater sense of seamlessness is the first word that came to mind, but this notion that obviously I think part of this is because obviously Google is associated with the internet. There is a sense, you're right.
We haven't gotten to that part of it.
No,
yet.
But what I mean is just I do feel that with Google, I'm interacting with the internet in an audio fashion.
I'd say the opposite right now, because right now Google is just giving you a recording of somebody else's stuff.
No, but what I mean is I've asked it. What I'm saying is I've asked subconsciously, part of this is because it is a Google product. I have asked it to surf the web for me while I do something else. Whereas Alexa,
The wrong thing.
No, what I'm saying is I'm just telling you now. For me, Alexa, just the way it interacts with me, I just feel different.
All right, well, so
that's all I'm saying. I'm already having a different emotional attachment to these two things.
All right, well, finishing out the news topic. So, like, you know, it's got all these different things. Like we said, we could get the weather. I could get the local weather from each of them. I could say, hey, Google, when's Arsenal's next match?
Arsenal's next match is on Monday at 2:55 p.m. when they'll be playing the Sutton United FC.
Yeah. Will they win? No, it didn't go.
Oh,
hey Google, will Arsenal win its next match? Google, will Arsenal win its next match?
Sorry, I'm not sure how to help with that.
Hey Google,
yet.
Stop. So actually, one of the things
Google knows. One of watching the TV.
One of the things. Yeah, right. I can't help you with that. One of the things they talk about is that the Google. When you ask it a question, so we haven't gotten to the internet part of it anyway. So the general internet search piece of it, like, so if I ask a question of it of something, like, so earlier today I was checking these out to see how they would come out. But so if I go, hey Google, what are bricks made of?
Clay. According to reference.com, bricks are made with the two most abundant materials on earth, clay and shale.
And where do you buy them? Well, this is not cooperating with me. In any event.
Oh, normally, can you convert? Like, do you have to continually queue it? That's a technical
right. So question. That's the thing, is that apparently it's not supposed to be that way. Like, okay. So if you ask, like, people use examples of asking about a movie, and then you'll say, like, oh, you know, tell me the movie. So, and then there'll be follow-ups, and it's the Google is supposed to be designed to recognize the context of what you're saying, whereas Alexa, you have to do it separately each time. So I didn't wake up that time. So Alexa, what are bricks made of?
Sorry, I don't have the answer to that question.
Oh.
Alexa, how far is Jupiter from the sun?
Jupiter's distance from our sun is 483 million miles, 778 million kilometers.
So it's definitely not without the ability to gather information somewhere. Okay. But it's not nearly as good because, of course, what do you think? I mean, Amazon sells stuff. Google is, this is internet. This is contextual search. You type this stuff in, and so all it's really having to do is make the leap.
Amazon's, like,
you
know, when you Amazon's
search,
a website.
You know, when you search for Google, when you search for Google things nowadays, a lot of times it'll scrape the information out of the source that it would refer you to and put it in a box at the top. So, like, it'll take the beginning of the Wikipedia entry, or it'll take, you know, what, like, this was from reference.com, and it'll put it right up there.
Yeah.
You ask for a sports thing, it'll grab the information from whatever sports place it's getting the information from and stick it up top there. So that's, it's learned, their systems have learned how to collect all that information. So all they really have to do is convert your question to its regular search stuff.
Okay.
And then take that first box and say it back to you.
Okay.
So it's way ahead of the game on that sort of stuff. So I saw an example, I think it was, I don't know if it was still The Ringer, if it was Grantland, or it must have been The Ringer, because it was relative. They did this, and all they did is ask the two things questions, and Google killed. I mean, because really? It was like half of the things Alexa was like, I can't help you there, I can't help you there, whereas Google is much better at general internet check things out kind of stuff.
Well, obviously, there are products that, this is going to sound very facile now, me saying this is the bleeding obvious. They are products, they are clearly products of their maker. Whereas sure. I don't think we've had any question here that the Amazon product is much better about linking you up with whatever service or product right. you're looking for. Right. Whereas Google, being, you know, from the home of the internet, on a very just straight up informational basis, I think the point is Google is perhaps slightly better.
Yeah. Yeah. So do you have any questions for the devices?
Yeah. At what moment is porn going to get involved with these devices?
You know, there's a video that somebody sent me when they were all talking about how dangerous these things were, about like a kid asking a question, and then it started saying all these vulgar things back to it.
Yeah.
But it was a humor video. Like, it was not really happening. I mean, there are apparently child safety things you can turn on them. But
I mean, that's the old thing.
What's the point of audio?
What's the first thing you do when you get a dictionary at school? You go to see if the swear words are in it. Do you know what I mean? I mean, it's that thing. So
I don't know. Okay, Google, can you say swear words?
Sorry, I don't understand.
Yeah. Alexa, do you know how to curse?
Sorry, I didn't understand the question I heard.
See, they've got willful ignorance about this sort of stuff, I guess. Do you have any real questions for that you need to find out information from the internet about?
No, not at this time.
Not at this time.
Well, no, but this is the interesting thing. I'm already at this point where, and I've said this, my standard cynicism has actually disappeared. I could easily see one of these things in my house.
Yeah. Well, and then
I can't believe I'm saying that.
Yeah.
For a number of different reasons.
Right.
And again, I tend not to be as freaked out about internet security as everyone else. You know, I'm a classic. I'm just waiting to be hacked. But I'm that type of person. But I do, you know, I think what would hold me back, while I like the idea of the fact I could do all kinds of things with it, I've still got to get it all set up. And here's the thing. I've just upgraded my cable box. And so I have the new remote where you can talk to the remote.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
The other people in my house, they'll talk to the remote. Me, I'll search manually.
Searching. See, the searching, and it's funny you mentioned the Siri thing and the texting. That is the one thing I have started doing voice on my, because I'm so tired of jabbing my fingers at these glass screens that now when I send somebody a text, a lot of times I'll just press the button in the corner that just makes it voice things. And I'll just say the info. And because the voice recognition is so good now, I can say, I'm on my way home. The weird thing is you can tell if you get a text from me, if you say something like, I'll be home at 8 o'clock, it translates that as 8:00 instead of putting 8:00, and obviously nobody would ever type out 8:00.
Yeah.
So, but I use that all the time because I'm just tired of dealing with the.
I could definitely see it in there in terms of turning lights on and off and doing all those sort of things. I do see. Maybe more than you, I do see the notion, especially with Alexa, of the whole shopping and services thing. I could get there,
yeah.
Which I don't often say about technology. I get there in the end, but only about 5 years after everyone else.
Before we talk about something that they do very well, I want to mention something, because you mentioned the texting and things like, because that is something they don't quite do yet, although apparently you can download some of these extra pieces and stuff and get yourself here, which is communications. For example, texting, like you can text from your phone just by talking into it, send a text to so-and-so kind of thing.
These devices
haven't quite gotten there. I think that has a lot to do with the account and the account security issues where, like, because, you know, a text has to connect into your phone number. Even though Google's account could, you know, this Google phone number, you could get people there, but that would mean that your means of communication is unsecured. Like, nobody had to press a password to get in there, and so you could be sending messages off of things. So I think they haven't quite mastered that. And Amazon, of course, doesn't really do any of that to start with.
Okay.
So they don't have that. Now, I do know, I think Amazon just recently announced they've tied into, like, Outlook calendars, because Google, because they're tied in, they do, like, you can basically, if you connect into your account and you have a calendar, you can say, what's on my calendar today? I don't use a Google calendar, but it will then read off your appointments for the day. It's just giving you information, but it's the communications piece they haven't gotten to yet.
So maybe to ask you a follow-on question then, is there any relationship between, have you been able to structure any relationship between the phone, between your cell phone and these devices?
Well, so my cell phone, of course, being an Android phone, is connected to my Google account. This is connected to my Google account.
All right, but what about your phone and Alexa? Can you get those two talking to each other?
I mean, they talk to each other in the sense they both have apps that are companions to them, and you can control them from the phone, but they aren't integrated with the other things that are on your phone.
So let me be very clear then.
We should talk about phone, because obviously they both have speakers. I mean, the ideal application for these things would be voice communication.
I think that's what I was driving at, yeah.
Yeah, but right now, like, I think there's some interest in that. There's some things in the news talking about it. But because phones are, like, a heavily regulated thing, in addition to, like, the security elements, I think even phones over internet are, like, an FCC jurisdiction, and they have to authorize you to have devices that connect into that system. It does seem a little silly. I'm sure that somebody will come up with an app. You know, this is one of those disruptors where if somebody invents the right thing, they'll just do it. And they'll say, regulators, come after me later. And everybody go, no, I really like the fact. Because obviously, if you have a speaker in, it's connecting to your Google account, it makes perfect sense that you would be able to say to Google, call so-and-so, boom, the speaker would be on. You just have a conversation, be done, and say, okay, hang up. That would obviously make a lot of sense. I mean, you can get a Bluetooth speaker right now that connects into your phone and acts as a phone speaker that you could pretty much do the same thing, because your phone can dial people just by saying it. And so if you connect all the right things up, so why shouldn't these devices be able to do it? They just haven't made that last leap. But I'm sure that's coming. I mean, I would guess within a year, you'll be doing that stuff.
So it's a legal leap to make, not a technological.
I think so. I think I saw some stuff.
The technology can't be that hard with this
stuff. You know what? We should consult with some lawyers.
Oh, yeah. Let's get onto one of our
We have a lot of law enforcement listeners to the pod. I mean, Improvised Explosive Dave is a lawyer. I don't know if he's done a lot of FCC work, but maybe maybe he can connect us to the right people. But that's one of the areas where they have not filled out everything they can do, but they're busy figuring it out. But you can easily – it's funny. A lot of times when these technologies come up, you don't see – like regular people like us don't really see what it could do right at the gate. And you go, well, why does anybody want that stuff? Kind of like the tablet. Well, yeah. Why do you want that? I got a laptop. And then you go, oh, wait. Now I see. Like, it's – everything is fast. Everything's simpler. I can just look at it quick and be done with it, kind of thing. This is one of those ones where you can see, like, all the things that it could potentially do, because we've all seen the movies and all the versions.
Well, and that's the thing, isn't it? You know? I mean, it is. It's
you know, I used to laugh. Like, I hate that this show has all become about Star Trek. I remember when watching one of these documentaries on Star Trek, and they were making some moronic claim that all kinds of technology we use today was originated on Star Trek, and yeah. and they were making the, it was in the days of the flip phone, so everyone was trying to make out that the flip phone was inspired by the communicators on the original Enterprise, where you flipped it open and you spoke into it. And I'm like, no, it's not, it's just a bloody phone. But what I'm saying is, it's very clear here that, I mean, they, you know, Alexa shouts itself out as being inspired by science fiction. Well, I mean, we are there, aren't we?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're getting there. I mean, the one part is it doesn't do video because it's obviously an audio device. Now, Google, I didn't mention this, but because Google has Chromecast, and people who don't know what a Chromecast is, you plug it into your TV, and now you can basically, you're looking at something on your phone, you go, I want to watch it on TV, and you basically press a button and boom, it's on your TV, because it's all connected into the same network. This is basically a very similar device. In fact, I can actually control like music and things on here from my phone because it just acts like a Google device. But so this is big tied into that. You can run Netflix on your TV. Now, the Amazon one isn't connected into their Fire Stick, which is a similar type of device. So this is where people get really, they get proprietary about their stuff. So Amazon says, well, I want you to buy the Fire Stick that sticks into your TV, that plays the Netflix, that plays the Amazon movies. And obviously Google can't do the Amazon movies. You can actually watch Amazon things through a Google Chromecast, but you have to go through a couple of steps.
Well, the lights are on top of the box.
I must have mistakenly said something that sounded like.
Well, I have a question for you though. You have both. I can't decide if you're one of those rare people or crazy people that actually went out and bought both of them.
Well, there's a story about that. You want me to tell that?
Yeah, please do. So, and then I'll ask my question.
So I kind of asked people for the Google one for Christmas. And a bunch of people were like, you don't need that. I'm not getting you that kind of, you know, and I always thought, well, maybe they're going to get it for me anyway, because they're very nice to me. But the Amazon one went on sale for like, I think it was, maybe it's regularly $49 and I got it for $39. And at $39, I was like, what the heck? I'm just going to go ahead and get it.
Let me get it.
Because if I'm not getting the second device, and then they were both here and people were like, well, you're going to return one, right? And I'm like, nah, I mean, $39, is it really worth the effort of returning it? I mean, I might as well learn how they both work, and we can have a podcast about it. We can do all these things.
So this is my question. Do you think this is one of those things where this is going to be it's going to ultimately be a Microsoft or Apple thing, or a Betamax or VHS thing?
Do you know what I mean? I don't think so. I mean, I think just like the two things are going to persist. It isn't like that in the sense that, you know, the Betamax versus VHS thing was, it did the exact same thing. It played a movie on your screen. There was no difference into what it was doing. Some people might have argued Betamax was slightly better quality, or things like that. And it was a little bit more compact. But it really, at the end of the day, did the same thing. And, keep in mind that it was playing other people's stuff. Like, it's essentially, you got movies. You had a format to put them on your TV.
Yeah.
The thing was just an intermediary, and it was, you know, just like a phonograph or like tapes or things, you know, it's just a different, whereas these have so much of their actual way they do and what they do is intrinsic to the different product. It's just like Mac versus, like, it isn't like Mac or Windows one, like some was, you know, one is more popular than the, or Android, you know, Android versus, you know, Android tablets versus, none of them have one. They all pitch to do similar things, but it's not exactly the same things. I think that's what these are going to be. Now, they'll converge in the sense that they'll be like, ooh, that other one's doing this well.
Okay.
I'd like to do that as well. And so they'll probably end up more like, just like our Windows and our Mac laptops, at the end of the day, do the same thing. But
I'm going to ask you a question.
Some of them may go out of business and quit, but
which one is?
I mean, because meanwhile, Windows, right? Windows isn't here on this yet, but they have Cortana on the computers,
yeah,
which is a similar type of thing. And I think they have, I have read things saying they plan on doing something along these lines.
Which one is better?
I don't know yet, but we haven't even gotten through all the things.
Oh, I thought I was going to do
that. We haven't even gotten to the thing that I think is actually most successful at right now. I mean, this is. I will tell you that a bunch of people are buying Bluetooth speakers, but look, I can just go, okay, Google, play the Beatles.
Sure, here's your Spotify playlist called The Beatles, Eric's Favorites.
Oh.
Okay, Google, stop.
Can you do now? Can ask Alexa.
Alexa, play the Beatles. I don't know if it hurt me. Alexa, play the Beatles.
Playing songs by the Beatles from Spotify.
Yeah, this sounds better because it's plugged in.
But well, also Alexa.
So anybody who thinks...
I hate to say, this is a much better song than the other one.
Alexa, stop.
The 4 years of Beatles, it's a big difference there in that 4 year gap.
Now, both of these, again, this is where the proprietary piece... Now, so people, like the... The other, the one I have is the little Alexa thing, but the other one's a speaker, and it has a pretty good review as a speaker. And I mean, it's not like you're having your whole stereo system, but it's in terms of like a Bluetooth speaker, it's pretty darn good. And the same thing with the Google Home one. Like I have it in the kitchen, I listen to music on all the time with the Google one. Would go in there, say whatever it is. You can tie those into different accounts.
Okay.
Of course, Amazon would really like you to use the Amazon Music account. And they have an unlimited option where you pay X dollars per month for it and all
that's
that.
That's right, yeah.
Google has its own version of this stuff, wants you to use the Google one. But both of them are kind enough to allow you to use certain outside services, like both you saw that came from Spotify, because I have a Spotify account. There's different things. You could get in depth in the catchwords, but the Google one obviously went to a playlist that I have in Spotify.
Okay.
Whereas Alexa was just going to Beatles, like, so you can just play Beatles music off of Spotify because it just puts in Beatles and does that stuff. So that's why they ended up with saying slightly different things, but I could make either one do what I wanted it to do.
Okay.
But you can just ask, because of the fact that if you have a Spotify account that's unlimited, you can just listen to anything, Spotify, play Grateful Dead Morning Dew. I'm sorry.
Well, Alexa's off. And you have to say, hey, Google.
Hey, Google, play Grateful Dead, Morning Dew.
All right, Morning Dew by Grateful Dead, playing on Spotify.
It's even a live version. Hey, Google, stop. So, this is one where, like, it's already fully formed. I mean, like, and so if you want a music source, and I gather the Google thing now is set up where it'll play if you have the Google Cast, because they make an audio Google Cast where it just connects into your stereo. It'll play throughout your house. Like, so you can just have it. So now, like, that whole thing, you remember, like, people used to have a stereo system where you press
the buttons and
all
the different,
just like it was.
It would do.
Now it'll play through all your existing equipment, through your TV and all this stuff, and it can do it with the video piece of it. So that's the part that's, I'm confident that even if it was just that, a certain number of people buy it just for having a speaker.
Sure.
You know, like you pay that much for the speaker anyway. I might as well pay for it, the smart speaker. Now, meanwhile, this is where you come back to the fact that they're going to build the software into the speakers you buy anyway, so it doesn't even have to be a Google product. It's really more about tying you into somebody's system for music.
Could you hook it up? Oh, ultimately, I'm an iTunes guy. Could you hook it up somehow to your iTunes?
I think so, although I can't remember if I read that option on them.
Okay.
I can't remember.
To say, oh, I like that, just buy it.
But why would you? See, the thing is, buying music's kind of gone now. Like, if you have an account, well, because I mean,
I was
if you're paying.
I took the time to put a CD into my car coming over today.
Yeah.
So I don't want to hear that buying music is done.
I
don't want to hear.
I'd still buy CDs because they're like sort of a permanent thing. But why would I buy from like the proprietary download system of Apple when I can just pay X dollars a month and have an unlimited supply of whatever music I might want to at the moment and say across my room to my device?
I have a question.
I'm
sorry. Go ahead.
So, well, you know, I don't want to. One of the kickers is it does audio, right? Was your question about music?
Well, no, I just wanted to say how mobile these things were. And I do know, I did see online that the Alexa thing has a tie-in with Ford.
Is that right?
Yeah.
They probably have ones where you turn on Active Sync or whatever it is.
Yeah, whatever that is. Supported devices. So I think you can, looking at this, you do have a way to get Alexa. It just says Ford 150. So I don't know. I don't know what that. Yeah, it's a Ford F-150. So I was just curious because at some moment the technology is going to get to the stage where these things are just they are our life.
Yeah, right. Follow you around. I think there is some version of this stuff where it goes from place to place. But really, listen. As long as we're going to talk about audio, but Alexa, play the Atlantic Voice podcast.
Getting the latest episode of Atlantic Voice. Here it is from TuneIn.
This is a CBC podcast.
What is this?
Oh.
I'm Carol Off.
And I'm Jeff Douglas.
Listen to the As It Happens podcast for stories from the political to the personal.
What the heck is that?
Alexa, stop.
And on Friday.
So there is, when you look on the phone, because it's looked it up, it is something from the magazine.
Atlantic actually, no. Voice. Well, actually, no. Because I've done this.
Oh, no, you're right. It is something else, isn't it? No, no, you're right. It's not the magazine. I think it's something else. But it's called Atlantic Voice.
Yeah, there's a Canadian. And I figured out, and I've been, I'm now digressing away from our technology. There is a podcast that emanates from Canadian public radio, maybe, that's called The Atlantic Voice. And all I know is this. They're younger than us. But that would explain why we have a lot of people who check in from Canada. No, they're younger than us. And if
their graphics are a lot younger, it hasn't been around as long. Yeah,
so, you know,
but their graphics are a lot better.
So let me be very clear, Canada. If we want to get into some sort of throw it down, we've got the legal grounds right here because we were around first.
But really, most importantly, hey, Google, play the Atlantic Voice podcast.
I'm sorry, I can't play the Atlantic Voice podcast yet.
Hey, Google, play the Atlantic Voice podcast from TuneIn.
Sorry, playing podcasts on TuneIn is not yet supported.
Oh.
Okay, this is very strange because it literally, I showed it to you at the holidays. It was playing there, and it clearly does play podcasts. I don't know if we've just messed something up here with the technology.
I think the little fella that lives inside your Google box, because it's a new actor now, he's not doing what he was told.
I'm going to give you one more chance. Hey, Google, play the Atlantic Voice podcast.
Here's where you left off in the Atlantic Voice podcast, The Atlantic Voice, the 28th of December 16 Christmas special, PT2.
Like 10 flights on a private 757.
There you go.
So, yeah, you end up the price.
Hey, Google, skip.
Here's the episode of the Atlantic Voice podcast, The Atlantic Voice, the 11th of January 17 resolution, roundup 17.
Wafting across the pastoral vistas.
Hey, Google, stop. I have no idea what it was doing that first couple of tries there.
The Google one does need to work on its sort of intonation and tone.
Yeah, but that's pretty good. I mean, the fact that it's reading the top. First of all, I had no idea we were on TuneIn. TuneIn is basically free radio, which, by the way, we can do that with these things.
We're on TuneIn.
Hey, Google, play NPR.
Okay, 88.1 WYPR from the NPR network. Playing on TuneIn.
Streaming on WYPR is made possible by Loyola University.
So it actually will play radio stations too.
Sure.
Hey, Google, stop. That's another, like, if you just want to listen to the radio, you just want to get up in the morning and instead of turning something on, you can say, turn on WTOP and it'll tell you all, you know, I don't mean like it's a recording. It just is streaming it through TuneIn because TuneIn is one of these websites that collects all the different feeds. Well, I had no idea that our podcast was connected into TuneIn until I asked these things the questions and they said, oh, we're playing it from TuneIn. Here it is.
I'll have to search TuneIn.
And I have gotten it to come out of the Alexa thing, but I can't remember what I had to do to correct it or get it focused on the right thing because it's drawing from the same TuneIn thing. It's just for some reason Alexa's going the wrong place.
Canada have heard us, so
yeah,
you've been warned up there. So you know, but I'll go all in to defend us legally.
So I figured that would. Which one do you think's better now? Like you were asking me which one's better. I thought this had to be the definitive thing. Clearly, the Google is better.
Actually, this is going to sound really, really stupid now. Turn on Alexa again.
Oh, it's on still.
Oh, Alexa, who scored the winning goal in the 1979 FA Cup final?
Sorry, I didn't understand the question I heard.
Oh.
Then better ask Google.
No, I'm not going to ask Google. It doesn't matter to Google. Even though Alexa didn't understand me, I just like the way she talks more.
It is better. The voice is better.
And I hate to say it. And I'm now going to sound
again.
So I
think I read something that said that's one of these is a real voice. Or maybe it's Siri is a real voice. Siri, it's not a computer voice.
Siri apparently is. And Alexa sounds real. And strangely enough, while I've said I could go in on this stuff, my decision, there is something, because there is this sense that they are omnipresent. It is as much an emotional thing.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. I mean, listen, if you like the tone.
And this is, I think to me, while I dig the technology and I could get involved in it, as we said earlier, there is a part of me that would have to cross the threshold of it's not. You know, it's kind of cool in a way to sit there and think science fiction-y that I can just speak and this voice from above fixes stuff for me. But I'm a little weirded out by that. I like being the smartest person in my house, and I'm not entirely convinced that I would want these characters.
The good part is it's unlike a robot in the sense that it itself is not, and maybe that's why I'm not attached. It's all depending upon the internet, the great cloud, you know, kind
that's
of thing.
True.
It's
true.
It's not like one thing in your room creating a problem. It's the internet. So, I don't really anything else. Maybe, hey, Alexa, say goodnight, Alexa.
Good night. Sleep tight.
I like that.
Hey, Google, say goodnight.
Have a great night.
Oh, okay.
So,
I like the way that Google went off script there.
You know, the other thing you should...
I must say, I'm now stuck again.
Thing it's not really fair about the voice. So we have our headphones on as we usually do. One of the reasons that Alexa sounds better is because she's directly wired into the boards, into our ears, whereas the other speaker is playing across the table to a microphone that's not really properly oriented.
Yeah,
when you hear them in regular life,
when I know the porn application better, then I'm going to make my decision.
All right. On that not child friendly note,
this has been the Atlantic Voice. I'm Zeph.
And I'm Eric. Take care.
You've just enjoyed Eric and Zeph on the Atlantic Voice podcast. Follow us on Twitter at @Atlantic_voice. You can find the show at libsyn.com, iTunes, and of course at atlanticvoice.net. Email us at atlanticvoice@gmail.com. And now on YouTube, search for the Atlantic Voice. The Atlantic Voice, 3,000 miles of opinion.